Okay. Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 26th February, 2019, Tuesday. So we will be having our puja now. Let us compose our mind, the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of our chanting book. You will chant from the Vandana onwards. Okay, there is an offering from Hana. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, turn to page 1. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya macapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana motamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi budang kusumena mena punena matena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivaseto no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivaseto no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivaseto no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements in our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripa Jam. Budang Pajemi. Dhammang pujeme. Sanghang pujeme. Okay. You can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent meditation. We are off the light. Then, for those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. I will set the alarm. Half an hour. Okay. Just relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. And let things be. If you still need to train your mind, you go ahead. But by now, I think most of you should have developed some form of stability or spiritual faculty. That's why you can just relax, maintain silent, and the mundane mind will naturally return to its natural state of stillness and silence. So you just have to be patient. Then allow the mind to settle down, slow down until it returns to its original state of silence or stillness. So that is your meditative mind, your silent mind. And we call that paucity, tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. So just relax, silent everything, and maintain awareness. Then if you want to locate your mind somewhere, it's up to you. If you find the object of meditation suitable, then just stay there. Until your mindfulness of the object of meditation become very, very stable, very quiet, and very still. If you are doing anapanasati, I have already explained many times. Initially, you just relax, silent, and maintain awareness at your nostril. Then it will detect the breathing. Then as it detects the breathing, you allow your anapanasati to proceed. Anapanasati means develop mindfulness of your in and out breath. The Buddha say breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Just do that. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Until this sati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, become very, very stable. Then during that time, you will experience peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind. And very fast, you will experience piti, a time of spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. And sometimes it's so intense, it can give rise to rapture. The mind like become very quiet, very peaceful, and a lot of joy inside there. Then after that, you continue to relax and silent. This anapanasati will continue to become more and more refined, more and more quiet, until the breathing like very long. During that time, your mindfulness is very clear. Everything about the breath become very clear. One in-breath, like, it can take quite a while. Sometimes maybe 1 minute. Then one out-breath is also the same. Your breath will move in and out naturally. The moment you are without thought, you are mindful. When you are mindful, you will experience piti. And as you continue to relax, you will experience a deeper state of piti, accumulating into what they call sukhang, blissfulness of mind. Your mind becomes like very, very blissful. There's so much bliss inside there. Then you continue to relax into it. Even this state of mental bliss will start to slow down. Slow down until you experience a very different mind. The mind starts to slow down until it's so quiet, like little or no more activity. then the breathing is like no more breathing, very subtle, very short. During that time, you just silent everything. Don't try to do anything. Just relax, aware. Until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you will be in the state of tranquility, stillness. No movement at all. That is pasati. During that time, you will have very beautiful sati. Your mind is very sensitive. It can understand many things. That is the meditative mind. Use it to meditate. Use it to develop wisdom. Then stabilize this pasati until finally the subtle breathing, everything will come back to you. Like there is a very sensitive type of mindfulness that is able to be mindful of even the slightest movement, the subtle breathing and all those things. Then you can maintain your mindfulness for quite a while. Then after that, wherever you locate this mind, it is very sensitive. It can detect many things. Then later on, if you move the mind down to your heart or your chest area, you just silence everything and stay there. The mindfulness will detect many things. Wherever there is any vibration, especially your heartbeat, it will become very, very prominent. It will be like magnified. And you don't need a stethoscope to be aware of it. Then you just let it be, stay there. Allow the whatever vibration or heartbeat to go on naturally. Then if you are patient enough, silent enough, it will slow down too, until your heartbeat become very quiet, very fine, very still, little or no movement. That type of mind is very different. It is very sensitive. It has a lot of clarity and it can understand many, many things. So that is the ultimate training. Once you are able to do that, your mindfulness becomes different. Your mind is like able to magnify all your very fine movement. Whatever slightest movement is like magnified. And like you can be aware of the whole movement very clearly. And during that time you are very calm, very still. No pain, nothing. So that type of mind can meditate for quite a while. Then you can relax everything. Develop the four support. Relax, mindful, stabilize it for as long as you can. Then finally, when you locate the gateway, you just trust, let the nature do. No need to direct it with the thought. No need to do anything. The silent mind will just go in by itself. Then it will detect the gateway. Then all of the yin yang energy that you have developed through the meditative training, they will melt inside the gateway. And you will feel it soothingly melting inside. Then all the movement internal, you will be aware and you can understand. Then after that, you will transform internally. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then when the half an hour is up, the alarm or the signal will sound. Then slowly, mindfully, you can come out of the meditation. Then we can continue with our second session. Okay. you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabo enohiti supatipanno bhagavato Savaka Sango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yatidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakeneyo anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. You can be seated, and we will continue from where we stop. We are at page 429, chapter 25, Paticchasamuppada, based on the book The Buddha and His Teaching by Venerable Narada. Okay, you all can come nearer. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, page 429, chapter 25 on dependent origination, Paticchasamuppada. We were at the grasping link, dependent on feeling arise, craving, tanha. Then craving condition, grasping. So here, grasping. The text, according to the author, say is fourfold. Namely, there is the sensuality. Then there is false views. Then there is this adherence to rites and ritual, and the theory of a soul. So this one is the author's version. But actually, grasping here means when the mind initially crave, means there is desire. So craving is a type of desire. But when your desire becomes strong, then it becomes grasping. You want it. You grasp at it. Yeah. Then from grasping, your condition becoming. Then becoming will condition birth, the mental birth. But the author here, I think they follow what they call the text, the commentaries by Visuddhi Magga. So here they interpret grasping as born of ignorance, delusion. They have the following fetters. So in a way, if they explain it that way, then maybe it's relevant, but not much use. But here he say, grasping, there are fourfold to it. Mainly, first, is related to sensuality, which I think can be easily understood. Then he said there is this false views. But before you are enlightened, you definitely have self-delusion, ignorance. So this is very normal for people who are still unenlightened. Then adherence to rite and ritual, I don't think it has anything to do with grasping. When you grasp at something, there is no rite and ritual involved. Then the theory of a soul, there is also nothing related to the theory of a soul. So these are the interpretation of the author himself. He must have got it from one of the commentaries. So anyway, it's just for your benefit. So you don't have to look into all those things that the author mentioned. Then he also said the last two are also regarded as false view, which also got not much meaning. Dependent on grasping arises bhava. Bhava, which literally means becoming. It is explained as both moral and immoral action, which constitute karma bhava, active process of becoming. And the different plane of existence, upapati bhava. then there is also the passive process of becoming. The subtle difference between Sankara and Kamabhava is that the former pertains to the past and the latter to the present life. So this one is basing on the three lifespan. He explained the Paticchasamuppada as over three lifespan. By both are men, coming activities. It is only the karma bhava, coming becoming, that condition the future birth. So he is trying to interpret that vijnanam as rebirth consciousness. So coming back to the dwelling, I think for the benefit of those who are new, I maybe will use the whiteboard to explain it so that you understand. Otherwise it's not easy. Okay. The first dueling of Paticchasamuppada is dependent on ignorance. The first link is ignorance, avijja. Paccaya. It conditioned sankhara. Then sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Then vijnanam paccaya nama rupa. Okay, we will deal with this first falling first. So according to the Paticchasamuppada teaching, the Buddha said, dependent on ignorance, it conditioned sankhara. So sankhara, as have explained, got many meanings. Everything that your mind can do is sankhara. So this one is actually karmic activity, or what they call mental activity, all of your thinking, your emotion, your views, your opinion that condition the content of consciousness. So that is sankhara. But if they were to take that as the meaning, they find it very difficult to explain this falling. So what they do is they say, dependent on your ignorance at the point of death. So ignorant at the point of death, it conditioned karmic volition. They call this sankhara karmic volition. Karmic volition is just a volition at that particular time when you die. Understand? So karmic volition means volition. V-O-L-I. Oh, okay. Thank you. Karmic volition. So this one to them is karma. Because of karma, it conditions vijnanam, which is consciousness. But they call this rebirth consciousness. And this is according to the text. This is how they explain. So to them, it's very easy to explain. Because due to karmic volition, when you have a last thought moment when you die, that karmic volition will condition the rebirth consciousness. And because of rebirth consciousness, evil condition, a form and mind. So this one, the form and mind can be a living being, which for our case is a human being. Understand? Yeah? So this one appears to be very logical. When you die, there is ignorance, karmic activity or karmic volition will condition rebirth consciousness, and rebirth consciousness will condition the birth of a new being. Yeah. So this one is one life. Yeah. This is the life before this life. So ignorant at the moment of death will condition the rebirth consciousness that take conception, then give rise to the future being. Nama rupang. Then here it will condition the next one. Yeah? So from number 4, dependent on nama rupa, it will condition number 5. So number 5 is salayatana, sense basis. So dependent on the form and mind, the being that has been born, there must be sense basis, like the human being. You have your 5 physical senses and your mind, the 6 sense basis. Then this sense basis will condition what they call contact. So dependent on sense basis, there is contact. Then contact will condition feeling. Then feeling condition craving. So this one is number 8. Huh? Then craving will condition grasping. Then grasping will condition becoming. Then becoming will condition birth. Then birth will condition the arising of the whole mass of suffering. Okay, so this one is number 10. Huh? This one is number 11. Then this one is number 12. So they explain it over 3 lifespan. Huh? There is one life here, the life before you die. After you die, you are born. So this is the second life. Then after that, your sense basis develop contact, feeling, craving, then grasping, becoming, then you are born again. That's like over 3 lifespan. Yeah. But if you were to look at it practically, if it's a teaching that teach you what happened over 3 lifetimes, is it of any use? Will it help you? It won't help you, is it? True or not? This is theory, is it not? And it only happened once in 3 lifetimes. The Buddha won't teach this type of dependent origination, because this one got no meaning. It doesn't help you at all. You might self teach biology, understand, or science. So this aspect of dependent origination was adopted for very long after the Buddha's passing away by the commentaries by the author who subsequently wrote about this particular teaching. Because if they don't explain it this way, they cannot reconcile. They don't know how to explain. But if you were to meditate, if you were to cultivate on your own, then you will come to understand that this paticca samuppada or dwelling, they are happening every moment, every instant. Dwellings or dependent origination. So this one, sankhara here, is actually not karmic volition. According to the Buddha, every time when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think or something, means every moment of sense experience. If there is avijja, ignorant, it will condition what? Sankhara. What is sankhara? The Buddha said this is not karmic volition. This is just mental activity. Your mental thinking. You understand? Well, at the moment of sense experience, you don't understand. So avijja conditions you to think because you want to understand. One thing to know, one thing to understand, you think. It's just like in the school. When you don't understand, the teacher say, go back and think about it. So when you think, what happens is, thinking allow you to make contact with your brain, which is the mind door. So if you look at the physics experiment that we are used to, you have a battery, then you got a light bulb. Then you got what they call the switch. So when the switch is switched on, what happens? The light bulb lights up in it. So these are very natural condition processes. So likewise, if your mind is an organ, what happens is the moment you think, sankhara activity, mental activity, you think, then it triggers off contact at the mind level. So this will create mental consciousness. So this one is mental consciousness. So this mental consciousness is what we call vijnanam. So this one is not rebirth consciousness. So this one is wrong. So this one is mental consciousness. And then the paticca samuppada teaching has meaning. Then it becomes very clear. Dependent on ignorance, I will create thinking which makes contact and it trigger off mental consciousness. Then when consciousness arises, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see as yet. But the moment you associate with the seeing means you input the content, the egoic mind, the content of consciousness. So when the content of consciousness go in, it becomes namarupa. This one is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Second aspect. This one is the five mental aggregates. Whereas this one is the first aspect. As a human being. And this one is not correct. This one is the correct one. So this one is wrong. This one is wrong. This one is also wrong. So So this one is mental activity. Huh? Mental activity. So this one is correct. Then this one is correct. Huh? Mental volition. Then this one is correct. If you meditate, you will understand. Yeah. When you silence your mind completely, every moment of sense experience upon contact, when you are really silent, without thought, without the brain, the conditioning from your mental coming in to interfere and tell you story, you will see very clearly how it makes contact and how the mind becomes conscious. At that moment, when it is conscious, means conscious of seeing or conscious of hearing, conscious of smell, taste, tactile or thought process, the content hasn't gone in yet. Means there is just the awareness. That's why you must have very stable daily mindfulness to see that, to see that link clearly. Then you realize at this point there is nothing. It's the pure consciousness, like the Buddha in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness. That consciousness arrives, like the light bulb. It lights up, that lighting up. Means the mind is conscious. It hasn't perceived yet. It hasn't put in the content of consciousness as yet. But when it come here, number four, the content of consciousness went in. That's how it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. You know what is the second aspect, isn't it? I told you before, isn't it? What is the second aspect? What is your mind? Your mind got four aggregate. Correct or not? What are the four aggregate of mind? Feeling, perception, mental activity. These are the volition, your mental state. Whatever that your mind can do, the content of consciousness, which is inclusive of feeling and perception. Then you have the last one, which is this, what they call viññāṇaṁ. Viññāṇaṁ is like the receptacle. So these four constitute the five mental aggregate. And how does the form come in? It's through your perception. Where you perceive it and you bring the external form into the mind. You can follow. Yeah? So this is where, from the pure viññāṇaṁ, you input the content. And what is your content? Vedana, sanya, sankhara. In fact, they are just sankhara. Your content is sankhara. So sankhara go in. Sankhara and viññāṇaṁ become the five mental aggregates of form and mind. And this is what the thought is all about. And this is actually your thought. So the Buddha said, dependent on ignorance is a conditioned mental activity, thinking. Then mental activity will condition the mental consciousness. Just like this physics experiment. It's nature's law. Nobody behind. Then this one, when you input the content, it becomes the five mental aggregates of form and mind. This is where the thought is. So dependent on this thought, he said, there must be sense basis, otherwise it cannot arise. That's why the human being, which already has the sense basis, can perform this dependent origination. And because there is sense basis, it will condition contact. But actually, simultaneously, at this point, there is also contact. Because when you start to think, you remember? You make contact with the brain. That's why the switch is on, then the mental consciousness arises. So here, there is also contact, but ignorant contact. So avijja condition ignorant contact. So ignorant contact will condition feeling, that will condition craving straight away. You cannot stop. Unless there is wisdom. When there is wisdom, this one, ignorant, is no more there. So, yoniso manasikara takes its place. That's why when there is this wise attention at the moment of sense experience, upon contact, the pure consciousness, the content of consciousness is also without the evil roots. Then after that, contact will condition feeling, but feeling will not be conditioned into craving. Feeling can remain as pure feeling, because there is no ignorance, there is no avijja, there is no craving, clinging, grasping. So the aggregates of the enlightened being, especially the arahant, even the anagami also, there is no more sensual desire and ill will. So their feeling are pure feeling, pure aggregates. It will not condition craving. It will only condition craving when there is ignorant avijja. Is it clear now? Huh? Clear now? Huh? If it's not clear, you better let me know. Then craving, because of that desire, if you really, through ignorance, you are not mindful, you are not aware, then it will condition you to grasp. Means not only there is desire to have the experience, the sense experience, but you grasp it, means you want it. Understand? So this grasping is already a very strong desire. Very strong. Yeah. Then if you continue to allow this to move, then you become that thing. So becoming is, let's say, there is this craving, desire, or a lust, L-U-S-T, lustful. Okay? Then your lust becomes so strong, it starts to grasp you, understand now? It like make you very lustful, understand now? Then what happened? You become that lust, you understand that? Your whole consciousness become that thing. You understand? Initially it's just a desire at the thought level, understand that? Then this desire become grasping. Means everything that your mind wants is to have that thing, understand that? Yeah. Then when it starts to grasp, your whole consciousness become that. That lustful consciousness. After that, you are born into it, means you take mental birth, you transgress, and you go and rape. That is what birth is all about. You take birth and become that lustful monster that can rape and do all those things to people. So this is what the Buddha meant by becoming conditioned, the birth of that consciousness, so that that form and mind takes over, means transgression. From mental, it become action. It become bodily action. Then sometimes speech. This is what they call transgression. You transgress from mental birth into physical activity or verbal activity. So this birth is very severe already. Even at the mental level, there is three levels that you move through. And these are all very strong coming on. Yeah. When this craving is very strong in you, it can condition you to fall. And these are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil. The moment you take birth, this is transgression. That's why it will condition the whole mass of suffering, which is coming. It will come back and haunt you. But this is what you created. So this dependent origination, the twirling, as explained by Buddha, is actually every moment, every instant. And this is the teaching that is not in the textbook. Yeah, they cannot explain. To them, they got stuck with this, this, and this. They don't know what this is. They can only come out with karmic volition. Means after you die, because of karmic volition, you take rebirth consciousness. And when rebirth consciousness take place, there is inception, the form and mind, or the living being, comes into being. Then because of the living being, is it there are sense bases. And because there are sense bases, you can have contact. And with contact, it can condition feeling. Feeling condition craving. Craving condition grasping. But they don't know what this thing is. Then grasping condition becoming. You become that lustful thing. Or you become that thing. And that becoming is very strong. It takes over your consciousness. Then when you are born into it, means transgression really. Physically or speech wise, you acted out of it. That's how it creates very severe karma at this point. Yeah, you just, use the mic. If there is avijja, it's always negative. That day you asked me the same question. Before you are enlightened, there will be. No, for the recording. Yeah, just repeat. Is it always negative? I just repeat that one.
Is this always negative?
If there is avijja, it's always negative. Understand? Because there is ignorance. I answer your WhatsApp question the same way. Because you say, you ask me about doing dana. You say, all Buddha encourage the follower to do dana. Yeah. Then Yun Chan asked me, why is it Brother Theo say, before you are enlightened, all of this dana is not real true merits. Yeah. The word is not true merit, understand? Not pure merits. It's just like the emperor. Bodhidharma met the emperor. Then the emperor was very happy, very proud. He asked Bodhidharma, after all I have done following your advice, offer to the monks, build monastery, sponsor everything, how much merit do you think I have? What did Bodhidharma answer here? He said zero. Why? Well, he's an enlightened being. Understand not? So you ask an enlightened being, how much merit do I have? He look at it as pure merit. Because he's an enlightened being. Understand not? But when you ask him, how much merit do I have, means you still have the sakkayatiti, self, I. I having how much merit. And his action is out of what? Out of greed for all these merits. That's why it's not a pure merit. It's tinted with the delusion of self. Tinted with the greed. Behind the action is the greed for that merit. You understand? That subtle greed. It's not a pure action anymore. That action is still born of self-delusion, sakkayatiti, and the subtle greed behind. Because the greed is the desire to receive this merit. If it's not because it's meritorious, he will not do. You understand? So living being is the same. Hey, they say very good, this monk enlightened already. Or this sangha, meet the number, You offer to them, it's like offer to the whole Sangha, the Aryan Sangha. So out of greed, you rush and do. You understand? Whatever you do is meritorious, but tinted. Means at the mundane level. You understand? Yeah.
You can also, people have pity on some of these people, unfortunate people, and they also do to help them.
Correct.
And that not to gain merits.
Correct. So if you can have that type of mind, then it's different. Means you see the condition, you see the suffering, and so on. Then that mind that understand, sometimes you must be careful with this word pity, A good hearted fool can be deceived, And there is ignorance inside there, Because they prey on your compassion. So they pretend like those beggars you saw in the video. his leg like chopped off. Then that girl put a lizard inside there. Then he saw the lizard, he panicked, he jumped. Then they saw the leg, normal leg, but the two chopped off one was a fake one. And it's happening. Then you go and have lunch. Off and on people come for donation and all those things. So how do you know it's genuine or not? They are preying on your compassion. So if you are not careful, sometimes you think, oh, you will pity them. We must help them. But like I explained the other day, I think in the Thursday class, if you know that family or through your neighborhood, somebody will tell you that their family is really poor and they need help, then you decide to help because you understand, your conscience tell you, understand or not? Your conscience tell you. Then you don't use your brain, your conditioning, the thought to override that conscience. Then you will do. Sometimes out of compassion, the conscience tell you, how can living beings suffer like that? No, if I can, I should help. Then you go and help. That is so much more meritorious, understand or not? Although there is still the atta, the sakayadity that I must help, but it is so much purer. But there is no greed behind for the merit. No. When there is condition to do, only you do, understand or not? You don't do because people say, hey, this is meritorious. You must help. It is very meritorious. Then that greed for merit is there. But when you see the condition, then the conscience tell you. That's why the book, The Heart and the Mind, you must go and read. The conscience actually comes from our nature. Every one of us, when you are born into this universe, you have the conscience. And that conscience will only manifest when your thought is not active, when you are silent. That's why when you go and visit some places, especially you want to buy property or what, the moment you walk in, that very moment, you will feel something, whether good or something not pleasant or not favorable. At that moment, you will feel one. But after that, your thought will come in. The consideration, they will override the conscience. Then you will end up negotiating for the wrong thing. The conscience is very accurate. The conscience will know. Then sometimes when you want to do something, that conscience will tell you, this is wrong. Split second only, come out. After that, your thought take over already. Never mind lah, nobody will know one. Then your thought will condition you to do one. But the conscience at the first instant, you dare not do one. And that is your conscience from your nature. And that conscience is the only possibility for an enlightened being to do wholesomeness. But even with that conscience, you will still have the atta. You understand? The self is still there. But this self, without the greed behind, is so much purer. Because before you are enlightened, every being has this sakayadity, self-delusion. The concept of a self, the me, the I, the egoic mind is always there. That's why you cannot run. So this avijja, not until you awaken, this one will always be there. But when you start to meditate, like the Avijja Sutta, the Buddha say, the first step in the 10th step for you to become enlightened is to have Dhamma friends. That one you all have, as Kayanamita. The second step is to listen to the true Dhamma. You all also have. So after you listen to the true Dhamma, you will develop what they call faith. The third step. And because of the faith, you would have developed some understanding. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the faith. So after you listen to the true Dhamma, you will continue to reflect and contemplate on it. Then after you contemplate, reflect, and you investigate, then you realize you stand up to the investigation, you will have very strong faith, understand? Unshakable. Then you start to put it to test. Means live that type of life. Then when it really changes you character-wise, personality wise, then your karmic conditioning wise, you will start to see your life transform. You become like more and more fortunate. I don't want to use the word lucky, because nothing to do with luck. You become like very blessed. Everything like no longer like before. Small thing, you get angry, unhappy, stir your mind, react, become heedless. Then the karmic negativity come. Yes, it will condition karmic negativity. But after you change over to this way of living life, heedful way, following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping your precept, then you listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, then you develop the initial wisdom, first and second turning wisdom, when you reflect and contemplate on those Dhamma that were taught to you, which you have listened, then you realize it's very conducive for you to live the noble life, the good life. Then you realize, based on right view, law of karma, I should take care of karma. How to take care of karma? I should avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, following the advice of the Buddha. How to avoid karma? I must keep my precept. After keeping my precept, I must understand what constitutes evil. Otherwise, I cannot keep my precept. Then, to keep the precept at the mental level, I must develop mindfulness so that I can see the evil roots. Because I understand what constitutes evil. Without mindfulness, I cannot see. So with mindfulness, you can see. And when you can see, only you can keep your precept. Otherwise, your precept is not easy. It's not easy to keep the precept. Then, to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, there is another phase. You need to understand what constitutes right view, that condition, right thought, right speech, right action, and what constitutes right action, right speech, and right thought. So all this, not until you have developed the contemplative understanding and the wisdom, you cannot cultivate them. The four right effort cannot come to be. So after you have developed them, then the first two turning wisdom will be the initial wisdom that you will develop. That's why under the Avijja Sutta, the first four steps is very important. Having Dhamma friend, listening to the true Dhamma, then developing the faith in the Triple Gem. Now, then you straighten your views to develop the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. Then after that, your daily mindfulness, Sati Sampajana, which is the fifth step. If you can do that, after that, your precept will be in order. Then you can arise the four right effort to cultivate the purification of thought and mind. Means you can have the first right effort to abandon all the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then the second right effort, to prevent them from arising, because you already have the initial wisdom, the mindfulness, the understanding. Then you can do all this. Yeah. Then after that, the Buddha says, once you have that fifth step done, the sixth and seventh will also arise. Because after you have the four right effort in place, you will be able to develop the sense restraint. Sense restraint means you can never break your precept anymore after that, which means you are at least a sutapan. Yeah. That's why after daily mindfulness, only you can reach that one. Sense restraint. Step number six. So I go through again. First step is have Dhamma friend, which you have. Second step, listen to the true Dhamma. Then after that, develop the faith through investigation into the Dhamma, contemplation, reflection, developing the first and second turning wisdom. Then the fourth step is what the initial wisdom is all about, Yoniso Manasikara. Then after that, when you do the fifth one, daily mindfulness, Sati Sampajana, very easy to do. Means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Then when you can do that, the sixth step, sense restraint, will be there. Because you already know what constitutes evil. You already have the initial wisdom. Your mind don't stir so often as before. Then you have more and more moment of mindfulness, awareness. That's why your sati, your daily mindfulness, become very natural, more and more, more and more. Then you are able to have clear comprehension of what you do throughout the day. It's from here that you develop the ability to have sense restraint. Means every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought process, the sixth sense door, you no longer stir your mind like before because of your mindfulness, your stability, and your initial wisdom. Yeah. Then when you have this sense restraint, only you can arise the three way of right conduct. What are the three way of right conduct? Yeah? What are they? Right thought, right speech, right action. Before that, you cannot. You have to develop the sixth step. Then the seventh step only you can do it. Then after that only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, which is the eighth step. That's why the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha start with his opening statement. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you cultivate Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, and Dhamma Nupassana. Means you have overcome covetousness, craving, desire, and grief. Means most of the time you cannot be sorrowful already, unhappy already. Yeah. So after you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha say, the ninth step is the seven stages. Enlightenment factor. They keep on arising. That is the ninth step. Yeah. Then when you see the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising, means you know you are on the right path. And this will lead to enlightenment in the here and now, which is the tenth step. That's how the Avijja Sutta explained how enlightenment in the here and now is possible. Then in the reverse order, the Avijja Sutta actually explained how ignorant condition all these things. So ignorance is the biggest culprit. Yeah. So ignorance prevents enlightenment. And the nutriment for ignorance, according to the Avijja Sutta, is the greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah. That's why these three evil roots are the nutriment for Avijja. So if you don't know what these three, you cannot handle Avijja. Yeah. And these three, greed, hatred, and delusion, is also the evil roots that will condition the living being to be evil, root of all evil. So all this is explained in the Avijja Sutta. So if you look at the Avijja Sutta, you go through the Avijja Sutta, you will understand the 10 steps needed for you to realize enlightenment. And the cause of downfall is all explained there. So it's also in our website, it's also in our notes. Do you have the Avijja Sutta, Richard? He has given you. We last time before you came, we did the photo stat. I better give you this one. Okay, I read, then I give to you. So this one is the Avijja Sutta, the reverse order and the what they call the two sequence. One is the sequence from ignorant down. The other one is the sequence from having Dhamma friend up to true knowledge leading to enlightenment. So I read through. Then there is a chart. The chart is very good. The chart at the back is very good. The Avijja Sutta put side by side. The Avijja cycle and the enlightenment cycle sequence. It's the same one. But this is a hard copy. Oh, you don't have the other side. This side is in the website. This one is in my website, the brotherteo.com. You go to the brotherteo.com about us. There is a somewhere, I think, somewhere the first few topic, first one or two topic, I wrote about the origin of the website. Why did we choose this website? It comes from the Buddha's concept of Kayanamitaship. Then after that is this Avijja Sutta, where I found it very important. That's why I put it there. So according to the Buddha, is that there are two cycles or two sequences. One is the ignorance sequence that leads to downfall. Then the second one is the enlightenment sequence. So according to the Buddha, he said, the new treatment for avijja or ignorance, is the five mental hindrance born of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So because of the five mental hindrance, it will feed your ignorance. And your five mental hindrance come from your ignorance. Then the new treatment for your five mental hindrance is the three way of bad conduct. Means wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong thought process. Then the new treatment for the three way of bad conduct is the lack of sense restraint. Means you don't have mindfulness, you don't have the initial wisdom, you cannot deal with sense experience. Then the new treatment for the lack of sense restraint is the lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension. And the new treatment for the lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension is you lack yoniso manasikara, wise attention. Means the unwise attention is the one that will cause you not to have the daily mindfulness. Because without the yoniso manasikara, the wise attention or wisdom at the moment of sense experience, your mind will always stir and react through like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So through this, you create the first two mental hindrance or sensual desire you will. You do it so often throughout the day, it becomes habitual. That's why you can never be mindful. But the moment you have this initial wisdom developed, when you are able to be at peace at the moment of sense experience, means no more light and dislike, no more stirring of mind, then you have more and more moments of mindfulness, awareness. That's why there is clarity. That's how your daily mindfulness pick up. Without the initial wisdom, you go and cultivate four foundations of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, you are wasting your time. Actually, precisely, you are wasting your time. And it's as good as impossible. So you have to develop the initial wisdom. So this wise attention is very important. Yoniso manasikara means wisdom at the moment of sense experience. And according to the Buddha, the new treatment for this unwise attention is because you lack confidence or faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. And the new treatment in not having faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha is you never listen to the true Dhamma. And the new treatment for never listening to the true Dhamma is you don't have Dhamma friends. Not associating with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friends or Kayanamitta. That's why everything starts from Kayanamittaship. So the second sequence, which is the enlightenment sequence that I have gone through with you all, is very important. So out of the 10 steps, the first one, associate with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friend, Kayanamitta. This you already have. Then it conditions you to listen to the true Dhamma. And the new treatment for this is you will develop all those wholesome things. You will straighten your view, you will put it to test, then you will develop the faith, confidence in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then when you have this, after you have listened to the true Dhamma, then you have contemplated, reflected, developed the first, second turning wisdom, the fourth step is wise attention, wise consideration, or yoniso manasikara, means wisdom at the moment of sense experience, the initial wisdom. And the new treatment for this is confident in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, that one we have gone through. Then after you have developed the initial wisdom, only you can move to the next step. Cultivate mindfulness and clear comprehension, sati sampajana. Then this will enable you to have sense restraint, restraint of the sense faculty. Then after that, you will have the three way of good conduct, mind, body and speech. Then only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, leading to the seven factors of enlightenment. When the factor of enlightenment keep on coming, means you know you are on the right path. Then finally, you will have true knowledge, vijja, leading to enlightenment in the here and now. That's how enlightenment comes to be. So the new treatment for enlightenment, the reverse order, is the seven factor of enlightenment. And the new treatment for the seven factor of enlightenment is the four foundation of mindfulness. And the new treatment for the four foundation of mindfulness is the three way of good conduct. Before you can have this, you can never develop the four foundation of mindfulness. And the new treatment for the three way of good conduct is sense restraint. And the new treatment for sense restraint is your daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. And your new treatment for mindfulness and clear comprehension is wise attention or wise consideration. Yoniso manasikara. And the new treatment for this is confident in the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. And the new treatment for the faith to be developed is listening to the true Dhamma. And the new treatment for listening to a true Dhamma is to have Dhamma friends. That's why finally it comes back to Dhamma friend. That's the reason why I set up this concept of Kayanamita ship for our grouping under our website. In the year 2004, when Yun Chang came and asked me to come out and share, I already had all this planned out. Initially, I was reluctant to come out to share. 1989 until 2004, 15 years, I never do anything because it's just like what happened to Sakyamuni Buddha after his enlightenment. He also came to realize this teaching is so difficult for living being to understand. And it's the opposite of what living being believe and think. That's why he was reluctant to teach initially. Same. Then luckily that Brahma came down, Sahampati came down from the PL airport and pay respect, then sincerely request him to share by telling the Buddha that there are some with little dust that can understand your teaching. That's why after that the Buddha reflected and agreed. So the first two he reflect and wanted to teach was the teacher, Alara and Udaka. But when he checked, both passed away already. One week ago, the other one the day before. They have to pass away because if they are still alive, they will become enlightened. The Buddha can just explain to them and they have developed their mind to that level very easily with the change of view, straightening of view, they will become enlightened very fast. And the reason why they have to die is because they make vow, and not vow, they make very strong aspiration to be born in that formless realm, the seven and the eight jhana, the formless realm, where they think that is the highest. So they make aspiration to take birth there. And the aspiration is so strong. That's why it condition, it override all the other conditions. Because they believe in it very strongly. That's why they must die before Sakyamuni become the Sammasambuddha. Because you contradict your aspiration, understand? You aspire to be there. And that will not be fulfilled if you don't die. That's why you condition them to die. That's why sometimes you have to understand this are nature's law. Then after that, he reflected, who else will lead the da? Oh, the five ascetic that follow him. That's why he walked and looked for them. because through his special ability, he know where they are. So he went back there and see them. That's why he started to teach. But that time, to that place where the where the five ascetic is. He walked for 2 months. And he was full of joy. And you know who was the first one that met him? The merchant. You remember? The merchant, actually, that merchant also don't have the karmic affinity. He must have made that wish, you know, to meet out with the Sammasambuddha. But he didn't make the wish to recognize him. And he met the Buddha, and he saw the Buddha so serene, so peaceful, and he decided to talk to the Buddha. He said, "Oh Master, so serene are you," he said. "May I know who is your teacher?" And you know, Sakyamuni being so sincere, he said, "I have no teacher." He didn't lie there. But what he developed the understanding to awaken, nobody taught him that two teachers cannot teach him. They teach him until jhana level. Understand? His awakening is self-awakening from his past. That's why he told him, "I have got no teacher." So this merchant, go and think negatively. You know. He's such an arrogant monk. And he just laughed and walked away. And there is a Sammasambuddha. You know. And he just walked away. You know. He didn't even pay respect or offer something. You know. You just imagine. Yeah. So a lot of people who don't understand condition, you will end up this way. Because you never know. Where you use your mundane mind to judge. You understand? You judge through what? Just because he say, "I got no teacher," you say he's very arrogant. you understand? There are a lot of people don't know. They say, "Hey, the Buddha lie lah. He got Alarai Udaka as his teacher." What? You understand? He didn't lie. He got lie. But these two teachers didn't teach him the Dhamma that can awaken, that can give rise to the enlightenment in the here and now that he managed to finally realize. That's why when he was asked, "Who is your teacher?" he said, "I got no teacher." And not knowing that he is the Sammasambuddha, the fully enlightened one. So after that, like Yun Chan said, he take 2 months to walk there. And during that time, no proper car, no proper transportation and all those things. Nowadays, maybe less than half a day you reach. No need to walk so long. Okay, I read the note. Then I can pass you the this hard copy. Note. Again, you can see association with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friend or Kayanamita is a prerequisite needed to arrive at that path that ends in true knowledge or vijja, enlightenment in the here and the now. That is the reason why the Buddha clearly instructs us, we are saying to Venerable Ananda, having Dhamma friends, spiritual friends, noble friends, Kayanamita, is 100% of the holy life. Hence, developing and promoting true Kayanamitaship among all Buddhists within the Buddhist community is most important. So this one, the source is from my website. Yeah. Then on the other side also same. This Avijja Sutta explains clearly the importance of having true noble friends as Kayanamita to realize enlightenment. According to the Buddha, having noble friend as our Kayanamita is one of the prerequisites to become an Arya or an enlightened being. It also talks about the factor that will influence ignorance. To be free from ignorance is one of the main paths of our cultivation. So having Dhamma friends, spiritual friends and noble friends is a prerequisite for this task. Hence the importance of Kayanamitaship. So this is to re-emphasize to you why our grouping is called My Kayanamita, and why we promote this concept of Kayanamitaship, where it's 100% of the holy life. And if you were to read up, it's in the sutta too. They have this requisite to become even a sotapanno. You know, the first requisite is what? To have Dhamma friend. That's the importance of Dhamma friend. That's why without Dhamma friend, you don't stand a chance. And the Buddha make it very clear when he replied to Ananda. But Ananda thought it's 50%. So he suggests to the Buddha, he say, yeah, he say, Kayamitaship, Dhamma friends are very important. 50% of the holy life. Sakyamuni Buddha told Ananda, no, Ananda, it's 100% of the holy life. Because without Dhamma friends, you can never, never find the Dhamma. Because the Dhamma is not easy to find or realize. It's very, very difficult. Unless you have somebody who has already awakened or walked this path. Otherwise, nobody can explain to you what this thing is and show you the way. Do you know how easy to go wrong or not? Yeah? After having learned all the essential Dhamma and the teaching, you know how easy to go wrong or not? You may think the theory very easy. Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path, three turning, everything. But each and every of these, especially sati, mindfulness, to understand sati is already so difficult. Do you know that? What is the real sati? And what constitutes the three evil roots? The deep meaning inside. Then, without the understanding of sati, you can never understand the five aggregate of form and mind. And you cannot understand the five aggregate of form and mind, you cannot understand the First Noble Truth, final summary. You understand? So many of these can go wrong. If you don't understand what sati is, how are you going to cultivate? If you don't have this, how are you going to see the five aggregates of form and mind, sati? If you don't even have sati, how are you going to see the mental hindrance, the three evil roots? If you have not reflected and contemplated using the first and second turning on the essential Dhamma, you don't even know what constitutes evil. You don't even know the right view, law of karma can condition all these things, and that's how the advice of the Buddha come about. You cannot link all this, and you go and study the Dhamma and practice bits and pieces here. You treat every essential Dhamma as separate topic. That is what a lot of Buddhists is doing. They think Noble Eightfold Path is one topic. Then they think the five mental hindrances is one topic. They don't know how to link with the five spiritual faculty. Then the right view, they hardly talk about it, the three right view. Then they try to go into right thought, right speech, right action without knowing how all these things come about. It's starting from right view. So, it's so easy to debate. Then, samadhi is another very controversial thing. A lot of people think samadhi is concentration. Yeah. That's why you have all the teaching, the Hindu teaching mixed together. Jhana, jnana, all this. They complicate the thing and make it worse. Then if you were to check the real teaching, even the simple Avijja Sutta, you will know. The Avijja Sutta make it very clear to people how Sakyamuni Buddha teach. And you didn't check this step and you go and cultivate, straight away you want to do form foundation of mindfulness, you go and try. Before you even develop the ability to have the daily mindfulness, the initial wisdom, the pariyatti patipatti, you straight away want to move to the four foundation of mindfulness. Cannot. And the four noble truths, the three turning also you have not gone through. And you don't even understand what the three turning is. The final summary of the first noble truth, where the five aggregate of form and mind are highlighted. And what are they? you also don't understand. And then the dwelling, all of the book write about the three period of time, most of them. So how are you going to cultivate and practice and develop the understanding? That's why over the year, less and less and less and less of this awakened one. Why? Because the teaching is like that. That's the reason why it's so difficult. That's the reason why after 1989, I just keep quiet. I didn't do anything. Because what I came to, my nature came to understand, is so different from what the world teach, from what the Buddhist community do and understand. Completely different. Most of them are direct opposite. Then later on, luckily got conditioned, Yun Chan came, 2004. Then from there, initially also not easy, very tough, because of the conditioning. Very difficult to unwind, and very difficult to like set the message through. Because you all at that time don't even know what sati is. Don't even understand what the five aggregate of form and mind is. Don't even understand the three turning or the four noble truth. And the first noble truth is the most difficult, because five aggregate of form and mind, you all cannot understand the two aspects. So all these were not there. Then the worst is sati. It took me so long to teach sati, until I have to use Krishnamurti word, to let you all have faith and confidence through explaining based on what he wrote. Because these are people who are respected. Because the Buddhist teaching, the word sati is not really explained at all. Do you realize there is no explanation on sati? They translate it to mindfulness. And a lot of people, they use the word sati has a lot to do with your memory. Why? They say because the word recollection, the Buddha mentioned. Which is correct. The word was mentioned by the Buddha and that word is correct. But they don't understand the Buddha's teaching. Because the Buddha say when you are mindful, aware, you can recollect. Means you can recall what you are aware of. But it has got nothing to do with memory, understand? Nothing to do with memory. But when you are aware, means that awareness is aware before the perception. But because you are aware, if you want to recollect, you can recall the awareness. Understand? That's how you know where you put your purse. If you are mindful, you are aware. Because at the moment when you take your purse and left it at that place, you are aware. That's how you can recollect, you can recall. Understand? Not? But when you put that thing, you are thinking of something else, then suddenly you are, where did I put my purse? And the worst is your spec. Understand? Everywhere you look for your spec. Understand? Not? Huh? Because when you put your spec down, most of the time you are thinking. Most of the time you are been you are what? Preoccupied with other things. Understand? Not? But you are supposed to be aware of everything you do within the moment. So when you use your hand or you move your hand, you are aware. Then when you take the spec, you are aware. Then when you put it down, you are aware. You aware means at the moment when you do, you are aware. Aware means you are not lost in thought, not preoccupied with other things. Then you can recollect. Ah, yeah, just now I put it there. That's why sometimes my wife asks me where her purse or her spec. If I have seen it through my awareness, I will know. Then I tell him downstairs near the table there. But you must remember, mindfulness has nothing to do with memory. When you are mindful of certain things, you cannot be mindful of other things. You understand? But mindfulness is very fast. If you have a general spacious awareness, more or less, you can be mindful of most of the things. But when you are specifically mindful of certain things, specific phenomenal awareness, when you are mindful of this, you cannot be mindful of other things. Understand? That's why it's nothing to do with memory. A lot of people, when they forgot something, you're not mindful. that has nothing to do with mindfulness, understand? Huh? Then sometimes they eat, then especially their children, no? They make a lot of noise on the plate and all those things. Then sometimes they scold them, and the kid, out of that shock or panic, drop the spoon, kena scolding, firing. Told you to be mindful, you don't want. Never listen. And I got one Dharma friend who finally came and asked me, why my children are there? I say, what happened? He say, I teach them how to become mindful. I say, how you teach? He said, when you eat, mindful lah. When you hold your spoon, mindful lah. He said, one day, the son scolded him back. Because the son actually make a lot of noise. Then I think dropped the spoon, I don't know what. Then he saw the father want to get angry, fire him already. You know. He said, pa, enough. I know what you are going to tell me. Oh, he was so heartbroken. I say, no wonder your son did that to you. Well, he saw you never change. And he said, you are still so easily violent, angry, emotional. He don't want to end up like you, understand? Practice that type of mindfulness. You understand? But the children can see, understand? That's why finally I taught him. I say, you cultivate the real one. Then 6 months later, you come back and tell me. No need 6 months. 3 months later, the wife also can see. The wife also know he has changed. He every time encouraged the husband, you better go to Brother Teo's class more. Then he become more mindful, more sensitive. Then when his character change, then only the children, they are willing to listen to you. Because if you yourself is still so crude and still have so much emotion and violence and anger, what type of Buddhism are you going to teach people? You understand? And the children all don't respect him. Because he's like Tai Lam Yan in the house, understand? So people at least has that type of what they call ability to recognize a person with true virtue and good character as opposed to somebody who are still very crude. Understand? And they can feel you, they can see you, even though they are not enlightened being. Because when somebody has good character, good personality, when they talk to you, or when you interact with them, you can feel it, isn't it? You can sense it, isn't it? They are being very sincere, very kind, very helpful, very generous. These are their character inbuilt in them. Could be from past life, cultivation or practices. You can feel them. But those that are selfish, very crude, you also scared of them, personal. Because you can see their character is like that. And they like very heedless. They dare to do whatever. And this is what Dhamma is all about. After cultivating the Dhamma, you become more arrogant, more violent, and more authoritative. Then something is not right. You're supposed to have the embodiment of what? Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? Then you're supposed to have all the right speech, right action, and right thought. The right view to understand life. And all this will transform you character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. And as a human being, you will understand how when you change, your life also change for the better. And you become beautiful. Because these are virtue. You are incapable of negativity. That's why I say you want to know whether you're on the right path or not. First, check whether the enlightenment factor are there or not. Second, check whether Noble Eightfold Path is there or not. If these two also not there, you think you are enlightened, then good luck to you. Because a lot of people based on what? Their meditation experience. Wow, they say at the retreat, I saw light, I saw this, I saw that, I awakened. I want. The I still very strong. And there are people who believe that because that was what they think the thought conditioned them into. And a lot of them have this belief because These are the teachings that were earlier on propagated and popularly accepted some more. And last night I remember they go for this type of retreat. They call it Vipassana. No? Then after the retreat, I heard people coming out and discuss openly. Say, hey, that retreat, so and so, the monk confirmed, no, he got one jnana. No? Oh, he's already so tapani, he's already sakata. You can really get a shock when you listen to all this. Because this is how they interpret. Then somehow they tell you, can confirm one. No? You go into jhana, for how long you want to stay there, then come out. Can confirm it one, is it? Oh. You want to go in for 20 minutes? Exactly 20 minutes, you will come out. Then Chief Reverend last time, K. Sri Damananda also say, when he sleep, he want to wake up at 6 o'clock, he will wake up at 6 o'clock. You understand? If you believe all this, then you think he's also a special being, or enlightened being. No, it's how you condition your mind and train your mind, and you can wake up. And you don't need to look at the clock. Well, when I was young, I can do this. I want to wake up what time? Exactly the time I wake up. Then the watch that my father bought for me, actually is a second-hand watch. You know. And I didn't know that watch was a second-hand watch. Last time, mechanical, every day you must turn on. So because I love that watch so much, I was so grateful. When I was using that watch, it never go wrong one of the time. The time is always correct one. Then later on, I supposed to go to uni. Then that time we all got this Casio type of digital watch. So I don't want to use the mechanical one. Then I give it to my brother. You know what my brother told me? I said, what type of nonsense is this watch? The time, haywire one, is it never accurate? I said, cannot be. When I was using it for so many years, it was so accurate. The moment I passed to him, cannot. Then my elder brother lent me a motorbike, Honda Cup 65. I used in the uni for 4 years. No problem at all, no. Running very well, no. Got one day, my uni mate, he got and bend my spark plug at the vertical, no. And yet I can start the engine, no. He got a shock, He said, how do you do it? We bend your spark plug until it's straight, no? Instead of bend down, they make it straight, no? I said, I don't know. Then they took it out really straight, no? Then they bang for me, then put it back. Then when I finished that 4 year, I returned my bike to my brother, my elder brother. You know what he told me, no? How did you drive that bike? I said, why? Got problem. He said, that bike got a lot of problem, got to send for overhaul and servicing, he said. I say, I use for 4 years, no problem. When your mind and faith, when you have love, they really won't get spoiled. Even the pen I used last time, the fountain pen, very cheap one. It lasts me so long. That's why your mind has certain vibration that can actually make this thing last much longer. And a lot of things that I own last very long. I don't know why. Because I really love them. And I really keep them. Yeah? I don't know. I don't know. Because people cannot have that understanding to maintain it. You understand? Like the motorbike cannot be for 4 years and I've been using it. And it's serving me so well. And my brother told me, how did you use the bike? He said, really? He sent it to the mechanic. The mechanic said, I have to redo for you. He said, overhaul service it for you. But I say, when I was using it, it was beautiful. Oh, so fast. Almost 10:30 already. Did we finish that part? Okay. At least this one you finished. So now you understand the 12 link. Paticca Samuppada. Okay. We will just finish up that page. Dependent on grasping arise bhava, which literally means becoming. Oh, this one I have gone through. The 3 period of time also I gone through. Okay, then dependent on becoming arises birth jati. And he used the word in a subsequent line. See? Again, three periods of time. Eh? So this one you can just ignore. Birth, strictly speaking, is the arising of the psychophysical phenomena, kandanang patubawo. That old age and death, jaramarana, are the inevitable result of birth. If on account of a cause, an effect arises, then if the cause ceases, the effect also must cease. The reverse order of paticca samuppada will make the matter clear. Old age and death are only possible in and with a pseudo physical organism, that is to say, a sixth sense machine. Such an organism must be born, therefore it presupposes birth. But birth is the inevitable result of past karma. Past karma or action, which is conditioned by grasping due to craving. Such craving appears when feeling arises. Feeling is the outcome of contact between senses and object. Therefore, it presupposes organs of sense, which cannot exist without the former mind. Mind originates with the rebirth consciousness, conditioned by karmic activity due to ignorance of things as they truly are. So this is a three period of time. Eh? The whole formula may be summed up thus. Dependent on ignorance arises conditioning activity. Depending on conditioning activity arises relinking consciousness. This is how they explain. Eh? So if you look at the circular chart, the wheel of life, then you will see the 12 link, then the three period of time. So they have this past, present and future, the three life. Then they have the active side of life, passive side of life, then active side of life and passive side of life. So all these are based on the three period of time, so we can just ignore. Okay. So we stop at page 430. So the next Tuesday will be page 431. The reverse cycle of dependent origination. The complete cessation of ignorance leads to the cessation of conditioning activity. So this one should be mental activity. Okay. The reverse cycle we will go through next Tuesday. Okay, so at least we cover a few pages. But more important is today, you have to develop the understanding of the real paticca samuppada, the instantaneous one that happened to you every moment, every instant of your life. Without daily mindfulness, you cannot see all this. You cannot see all this. You know why? Without a stable daily mindfulness, you can't do all this. When you have a stable daily mindfulness, you can be at the moment of contact. It just stay there. Then if you want it to continue, then you can be at the moment of feeling. The feeling will remain as pure feeling. It will not be conditioned into this. When you have the understanding and the awakening, it will stay there. And it can also be at the moment of perception, when you try to perceive something. And you can also be at the moment of input of content of consciousness, where your content of consciousness is no longer with avijja. That's why whatever that goes in is born of wisdom, understanding. That's why you act according to understanding, wisdom. You don't act according to memory anymore. You will not act according to what your memory condition you into. The views, opinion, all gone. It's all based on understanding. That's why it's from your heart, from your nature. It's no more from your brain. That is the power of mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot see all this. You cannot understand all this. This all become theory. But with mindfulness, every of the link become very clear. You can be even at the moment of contact, how the ignorant actually condition you to stir your mind. to react. Because that one, before my Monday mind collapse, I saw them. That's why I told Lord Karimita, before it collapsed, you better see them. Otherwise, you cannot share. Because before that, I saw how my mind stir and become emotional. Then later on, I asked, how come it's like that? Why must I do that? Then I realized I don't have the right view at that time. I cannot accept things as they are. The habitual tendency, the conditioning of the past, society, education, everything. Then your views are initially very strong. Then later on you realize all this is sankhara, no reality. There is nobody inside there to own anything. Not to say have a view or opinion of things. Then who are you? What are you? You are nothing. You are nobody. So when you understand all this, that center that created the atta melt. That's why rooted out. Straight away gone. Then you realize this form of mind is not real. Not you. Dependent originating. Condition arising. Causal phenomena. The whole of the phenomenal world is just a phenomenal world of consciousness. No reality. That's why after that, the Heart Sutta, the Diamond Sutta, the teaching all become very clear. Then, all of the great teaching of the Mahayana also stand out very clearly. So this is how transformation can happen. Without daily mindfulness, no way. You need daily mindfulness to bring about the ability to have that very powerful insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics. And the initial wisdom was very important. Otherwise, your daily mindfulness cannot come. Then when your daily mindfulness comes, your sense restraint will be there. You can keep your precept, everything. Then the three way of right conduct will be there. Then your four foundation of mindfulness, very easy. Okay? So, we will end. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will transfer and share merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata chubumata deva naga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabe deva anumodantu sapasampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.